All right, so that's how it went, right? So we're in the middle of a series called Be Born in Me, and it's a look at Bethlehem from the inside. And so that was a look at Bethlehem from some way. And one of the things that we see in the Christmas story, the Luke chapter 2 Christmas story as told in the Gospel of Luke, we see these words. And I pray that you hear them fresh today, the familiar made fresh. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to a town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, while they were where? While they were in Bethlehem, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to a firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And so what we're looking at is this idea of where the baby is being born. And not just where the baby was born 2,000 years ago, but where does the baby want to be born this Christmas? And so we're looking at five characteristics of the town of Bethlehem, because we believe that Bethlehem might be closer than we all think, a place where Jesus wants to be born this Christmas. And so 2 weeks ago, we talked about sleeping and how we cannot just be asleep externally or internally. We need to be awakened to what the alarm of Christmas means, that Jesus is coming is an alarm. It's a decide, helping us to come and hear and see what Jesus wants us to see. And then last week, we talked about how Bethlehem is seen as insignificant and lowly and small and forgotten. And this week, we want to look at this idea of room assignments. As we look in verse 7 of Luke 2, we see that there was no guest room available for them. Now, one of the things that's probably the most common part of the story, and they've kind of depicted it in the video, is that you've been to a Christmas program where there was this little kid in an oversized bathrobe, and he had a dish towel on his head, and he had rope around it, right? And he comes out from behind a cardboard facade that says, Bethlehem Inn. And he has these all-important lines that he says, no room, we're full tonight. And then he kind of points stage right or left to another kind of barnyard scene where all of his friends are kind of dressed up like Halloween over there. And he kind of hangs a no vacancy sign. And so you have this picture of this mean innkeeper. The only problem is it's not in the Bible. There's no innkeeper. We don't know what that was like. And so a lot of times we have this idea of we fill in the gaps of things that we don't know. We kind of think the story should say this. It kind of says this. And so I want us to look at the true context. What do we know about Bethlehem in this idea of there being no room? Well, what we do know is that that Mary and Joseph had been traveling for about 3 days, and they tell us that the landscape was really uphill the whole way. From Nazareth to Bethlehem, it's uphill the whole way, and they may have been in the area for maybe a couple of days, or maybe even just as we think, they were only in Bethlehem a couple of hours. But we don't know if there was a stable, or if it was a cave, or if there were animals, or if they were just camping in the open air. We don't know if they were homeless truly, or how long their stay was, or was the birth before or after they registered in the census. I mean, we certainly know that there were no Motel 6s. There were no multi-level hotels that were occupied that night. And we realize that there had to have been many Roman administrators and Roman dignitaries that were certainly taking up the limited occupancy and accommodations in Bethlehem that night. I mean, in reality, there's probably only two credible theories to the actual scene that first Christmas. either Jesus was born in a cave that wasn't made by man, it was kind of carved out by nature, and they borrowed a manger from the animals that were being housed in that same cave. But what's probably more likely is that Mary and Joseph came to maybe possibly even a family member's house, but certainly a residential dwelling. And they would be known in that time as an Eastern caravansary. It's basically a roadside guest accommodations for rest and recovery. So as people were traveling, there would be these places, these dwellings, that people could come and rest. And the caravansary actually means to loosen. And what they're basically like loosening the straps of your sandals or loosening up the bridle on your animal, you could just kind of rest and recover. And it's kind of think like a barn that has a loft. That's kind of what we believe Jesus was born in. And that the loft is where the guest room was. That's where the sleeping quarters was. And then downstairs in this kind of dirt floor is where they housed the animals. So like the animals were in the house with them. And so it's kind of this barn with kind of a loft. And so we see that Jesus may have come to a place where all the guest rooms were full, or maybe the room wasn't big enough to birth a child. But regardless of what you subscribe to, if it was a cave, it was a house, or it was some other dwelling, the most important point, and the point that Luke is trying to describe here, is this matter of occupied. Well, whatever it was full. And we know this, that when something is open and available, we're more often and willing to extend it to somebody. If I have something and I'm not using it, I'd be glad to give it to you. But if when things are occupied or full, we're most often less willing to extend them. I mean, if you come to my house, I don't know if I'm going to give you my bed because it's occupied. And so I'm less willing to give you what's occupied than I'm able to give you something if you come to our house and there's a guest room and you could come and you could stay there as long as you want because it's available. And so we have this idea of being occupied. If I could just twist the lens a little bit more, to bring it greater into greater focus, there's this idea of it being crowded out or full or fulfilled with good. That one of the struggles that I see in Bethlehem that I may see in myself, and maybe you struggle with this as well, is that sometimes we're full and we're occupied with good and we have no room for the best. I mean, here's an illustration. I like food. So here's the thing. So I'm getting ready to come over to your house. You've invited me over to your house. And I don't know if you're going to serve dinner. And so I'm a little bit worried because I don't want to get hangry. I have a disease called hangryism. And so if I don't eat, I'm going to get irritable. And so I don't want to run the risk of coming and have to try to be the polite pastor at your house just in case there might not be food. And so what I do is I'm like, okay, fine. I go into my pantry and I get a package of cheese on wheat crackers. And I eat those 6 crackers. And then I should probably eat some more. So I get the peanut butter and jelly out and I have a PB&J sandwich. And then I go to the kitchen, to the refrigerator. That's what it's called. And I have a glass of milk. And then I leave for your house. And I show up at your house and guess what? Dinner's just about ready. And you're serving steak and vegetables and my favorite drink. But here's the problem. I'm full. See, I'm full with the common. I'm full with the filler. I didn't eat the cheese on wheat. I didn't eat the PB&J. I didn't eat the drink, the milk, so that I could enjoy it. I simply ate it to fill me up. And the problem is that sometimes we get into situations where we're full with the common and we've left no room for the best. There's no room to assign to the best that's available to us. We invite the commoner in, but we miss the king. Amen? And so the question this morning is, are you occupied? Are you full? Is there no room assigned for the Lord in our lives? We're full of ourselves. We're full of our own will. We're full of our own agenda. We're full of our own cares. Full of our own sinfulness. No time or space for the Lord Jesus. And I wrote in my notes, you can't see it, but I wrote here, too harsh. Is that too harsh? Is it too harsh to say, to challenge each and every one of us to take a look at the room assignment we've made for Jesus this Christmas? But here's the truth. I'm not making this up. Let's see what John chapter 1, verses 9 through 11 tells us. He, true light that gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. So Jesus is coming, verse 10. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, oh my goodness, right? The world did not what? Did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not what? Receive him. And so you have the same thing. They didn't recognize him. They didn't receive him because they were already full. They were already filled. They did not recognize. They did not receive. They did not have room spatially for Jesus. There wasn't enough margin. They were too busy. They were too occupied with what they were pursuing in order to see and to be with Jesus. They didn't have enough room to invest. They were already occupied in their time. They had nothing more to give. They had nothing more to offer because they were already full. Matthew 13 tells us, coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get his wisdom and these miraculous powers, they asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? They're saying, listen, we know this guy. But they were so full, they couldn't recognize him for who he truly was. They were so occupied with their predispositions of who this guy was. Oh, we've seen him grow up. We've seen him in his father's carpentry shop. Do you and I make the spatial room to be with or see Jesus? I don't think we can take that for granted at Christmas time. I actually think maybe Christmas is the hardest time to make room for Jesus. Do you and I make the investment of room in relation to our time and our schedule to be with or see Jesus? Do you and I have an intimacy and a proximity in our relationship with Jesus? Because here's the thing. If you don't have intimacy and you don't have proximity, you will not have accessibility. Try that in your marriage. If you don't spend any time with the person and you don't have any connection with the person, that person will not give you any access to their life. And you have broken down relationships. And so the same thing is true in our relationship with Jesus this Christmas. For him to be born in me is that we need to have intimacy. We need to have proximity because that's how we give access to Jesus. So we've looked at it from our perspective. Have we made a room assignment for Jesus at Christmas? Let's flip it around. And see, did Jesus make room for you and for me? Luke 22, 7 through 15 tells us, then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John saying, go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover. Where do you want us to prepare for it? They asked. He replied, as you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, the teacher asked, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there. They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. So what we're describing here is the annual celebration where the people of Israel celebrate the exodus from Egypt. And so there was a time right before the chosen people of God were released from the bondage of Israel that the death angel was coming over to fulfill one of the plagues that God was going to kill all these Egyptians. And so if you had the blood over the doorframe of your house, the death angel passed over. That's why it's called Passover. And so we see that even back then, God was making space and room for the protection of his people. And so Jesus and the Jewish people and the disciples are wanting to celebrate this meal. But it's so much more than just an annual celebration. Jesus tells Peter and John, and he gives them small instructions. Go, sacrifice the lamb, and make arrangements for a party of 13. Now, Jesus, it seems, already reserved the room, and these disciples were simply just starting the preparation. Isn't it interesting that Jesus sends Peter and John to a guest room? Maybe one of the very rooms, not the same room, but a very similar room, which was occupied on the day of his birth. And so what was happening in this room assignment? Jesus is having an all-important meal with his disciples. And he's talking about the room that his death was going to create for them. See, what Jesus was describing that night in that meal, he was saying, listen, by my death, I'm going to create room for forgiveness. I'm going to create room for grace. I'm going to create room for peace through my suffering. I mean, that's exactly what he says in verses 19 and 20 of that same chapter of Luke 22. And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them saying, this is my body given for you. My body is going to make room for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Jesus is saying, I'm going to make room. I'm going to assign room through my death for you. That night, those 12 disciples had a decision to make. Were they going to be accessible and receive the room assignment that Jesus was making for them? And you kind of know the story, right? 11 of them received the assignment. And one said, yeah, I'm already full with what I'm pursuing. I'm pursuing financial gain. I'm going to get 30 pieces of silver. I'm going to kind of do my thing. I really can't. I don't really have any more room for you, Jesus. But there were 11, didn't do it perfectly, but they were accessible. They received what Jesus was doing in their life. And we go further in that same conversation in the book of John. We see Jesus explaining, still in the upper room, explaining to his disciples, the same disciples, about the preparations he was making in heaven for them. And you've heard this scripture before too. John 14, 1 through 6, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has what? Many what? Has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? This is Jesus saying to his disciples, I'm going to make room for you in heaven. I'm leaving here, not to leave you alone, but I'm leaving you here so that I can go over here and prepare for you. And when I'm done preparing over here, I'm coming back and I'm going to get you and take you to be with me. Now, one of the disciples, Thomas, in verse 5 says, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And we know Jesus says in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus was not only making room for forgiveness and grace and peace and hope, but we see in these scriptures that Jesus was making room that was eternal for all of us. An eternal room assignment leveling the road to make it passable for us to go to heaven. An abiding place, a permanent place, a place of comfort during extreme confusion, a room that involves a preparing of the way, a preparing of the truth, a preparing of the life. Friends, no matter what we're walking through, Jesus is the path to the room. He's the guide to that room. He is the sustaining force to that room. And after those preparations are finished, he promises to come back. And the way that we secure that room assignment is by saying yes to Jesus. Receiving and making that reservation. Now, maybe you've not had this experience, but I've had this experience where I've gone and there's been a glitch in the system and I've shown up at a hotel and I say, hey, my name's Bryce Grieco and I have a room tonight. And they say, we don't see that name. There's no reservation with that name. That's akin to Jesus doing everything for us, making a room prepared for us, but then we show up and there's no reservation. We haven't said yes to Jesus. It can all be prepared for us, but there's been no reservation. So not only do we need a prepared place, which Jesus is doing, we need to be a prepared people. And so this Christmas, I believe God is calling Northway Community Church to be a prepared people, to be a people that recognize the room assignments that Jesus has made for us. The truth of it is, though, in a room this size, there's got to be a few of us who believe the exact opposite of that. We believe that maybe Jesus has no room for us. Maybe it's our life and the way we've lived or what we've said or what we've done to other people or how long we've lived a certain way, that Jesus has no room because we've been pushed out, we've been disqualified, and all of Jesus' rooms are qualified and prepared for the good people. You know, those good people, those church people, those saints of the church. Let me just tell you something. They don't exist. People that act like they're the church people, the people that act like they're the saints, they're just the best fakers. We're all hypocrites. We all have messed up. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's the truth. We're all on a journey. And it's only through Jesus, not through our own efforts, that we will come to that eternal room assignment. And so, friends, I want you to know that if you feel like God has no room for you today, if you know somebody, a family member, if you know a friend or a coworker that says, you know what, Jesus doesn't have any time for me, God doesn't have any room for me, I want you to tell them, hey, listen, I heard a message this week and there's room assigned for you. Come and listen to my pastor share a message this Christmas Eve. He's going to tell you about what Jesus has done for you. Because here's the truth. You don't have to believe me. Believe the scriptures. John 10:10 says this. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I, Jesus, have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That promise is for you. It's for your neighbor. It's for your coworker. It's for that person you can't stand, who's rude and ignorant to you. There's more. John 6:39 says, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. Listen, you're in that number. You're in that group. He wants to raise you up. He wants to check you in to that eternal room assignment. Matthew 18:12-14 says this. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about the one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. See, church people don't like that. People that have been in the church all their lives, like, what? Wait a minute, he likes people that are wandering more than he likes me. I have perfect Sunday school attendance. I haven't missed a week in 48 years. And you're going to say, you're going to leave me? I'm part of the 99. But guess what, church? It's not about us. What we need to realize in the church is that once we know that we have received and accepted the room assignment that Jesus has given to us, now we turn around and try to extend that room to someone else. And that's what the 99 and the 1 pertains to. And so, friends, it comes down to two questions. Isn't it always two questions? Who will God let in and receive a room assignment? Who is it? Who is it that God would let in? We've already answered that. He lets in all who will receive the assignment. All who will accept the work that he's done on the cross. So then the last question then is, what and who will we, you and I, let in? What room assignment will we give out this Christmas? Because we're good at giving out room. I mean, come on, our time? I mean, come on, how many hours have we put into shopping for our gifts this Christmas? We create space. We've got room. Yeah, I want to give my kids the best gifts this Christmas. Not me. You're still not getting the phone, sorry. Is that what we focus on? It's like, listen, I got to create a lot of space so that I can make sure I get all the gifts ready. I mean, what's the number one answer that we have when people ask questions at Christmas time? So, are you ready for Christmas? What's that mean? What they're saying is, do you have your shopping done? They're not saying, are you ready to receive Jesus this Christmas? Are you ready to allow Jesus to be born in you? When they say, are you ready for Christmas? I would be like, are you? Are you ready for Christmas? So, I mean, we know how to create space for gifts. We know how to create space for family, right? I mean, we all got our schedule, right? I mean, come on, we go here. We go to Nana's at this time. We go to Grandma's at this time. We go to Aunt Shirley's at this time. We know how to do this. We know how to create space for family. We know how to make sure that no one infringes on our traditions. Hey, this is how we do it. We do Christmas this way. We even make time, because it seems like it's the spiritual thing to do, to go to church at Christmas time. Now, come on, shape up, put your college shirt on. We're going to church tonight, right? That's the good thing to do. That's the Jesus thing. God will be happy with us if we go to church tonight. So we're going to go to church, shape up. Like, I was like a minute and a half from preaching this morning, and Gavin walked past me. I don't know if you saw this, and he was pouting because he had I'm like, Gavin, like, I was about to yell at him in church. I was going to need Jesus. But it's real, right? It's real. It's real. It's real. It's like we know how to put it on our shirt and button the buttons, and we're ready to go to church. We're going to go to church. Right? Oh, my neck's getting fat. That was... Sorry. However, in the end, what room did we assign to Jesus? Not to Christmas, not to gifts and family and even the church, but to Jesus, to loving Jesus, to welcoming Jesus, to celebrating Jesus, to spending time with Jesus, to allowing Jesus to speak directly into our Bethlehem. Now, if you're not used to preaching here at Northway, I need to just put a disclaimer in here. This isn't about making you feel bad. This is about us being challenged to be deeper in love with Jesus. This is not about a guilt trip. This isn't about laying it heavy on so that you feel bad or you give more money or anything. This is about, listen, we're going to do this Jesus thing for real. We're going to do this. This is going to be real. It's not going to be perfect. It's going to be real. And so, as your pastor, I want to challenge all of us to go against the wave, the tidal wave of pressure that says that Christmas is everything, is about everything except what it should be about, which is loving Jesus, welcoming Jesus, celebrating Jesus, spending time with Jesus, allowing him to speak directly into our Bethlehem. And just so you know, that the pastor's family isn't perfect. We committed at the beginning of December to read the book of Luke, a chapter a night. That sounds like a really spiritual thing to do, right? So what's the date today? 15th? And we're on the 6th chapter. The 8th chapter. We are going to have to cram to be spiritual. So church, all of us are in this together. The pastor's family is 7 chapters behind in their Christmas reading. And it's probably my fault. All right, we got to bring this in for a landing. We could be here all day. Bethlehem is closer than you and I might think. Bethlehem, that first Christmas, had a lot to do with room assignment. Bethlehem, this Christmas, has a lot to do with room assignment. So my challenge to you today, it's not a raise your hand, it's not a come forward, it's not a go out and give $10 to somebody. I mean, what kind of church would ever do that? That's really silly. Here's what I challenge you to do. This is the challenge from your pastor this morning. Share with Jesus today that you are willing to make room for him. That's just a little simple, quiet breath prayer between you and Jesus. Jesus, over the next 2 weeks, I'm going to make room for you. I'm going to assign room for you this Christmas. And then receive from Jesus today the room assignment he has prepared for you. Because he's prepared something for you. He has prepared forgiveness. If you're here today and you're handling the weight of some difficult sin or your past or something you can't forgive yourself about or you regret, Jesus is saying, this Christmas, I've created some space for you to let that go. Let me be born in you this Christmas. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for my friends here today where we get to just kind of week in and week out. We get to dive into your scriptures. We get to look around at the eternal truth. Like, that God, you gave us your words. And every week we have the joy of just jumping in and seeing what it has to say to us. And so, God, today we look at this common, I mean, come on, if we've read it once, we've read it 1,000 times. Luke chapter 2, verse 7, there was no room in the inn. But today, God, maybe you've really opened our eyes. It's not about some silly innkeeper who was mean. It was really about being over occupied and filled with the common instead of with the king. And so, Lord, my prayer for my friends to this Christmas is that we would not be full or filled or occupied with the common, the good, the really good, the really comfortable, the we do it that way every year, or the traditional, that this Christmas we would be filled and occupied with you. Have your way in me. Have your way in my family. Have your way in our families this Christmas. Be born in me. Be born in every one of us this Christmas. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before we sing, I want to invite you, if you're here today and you would like to pray with one of our pastors, our church is blessed with several pastors, and they're going to be coming forward and be in the here in the front. And if you're here today, as we sing this closing song, we invite you to come forward and have a word of prayer. They're not counselors. They're not going to give you advice. They're simply going to agree with you about what you want to pray about. If there's something in your life that you're saying, listen, I really want to be reminded. I really want God to help me with this struggle I'm having, or this is a difficulty I'm having. We want to pray for you. We want to help you agree with you about what God's saying in your life. We want to seal the truth that he has shown you today through his word. And so we'll be singing. We're going to invite you to stand here in a second and have you pray. We'll pray with you. The last thing I want to say is, just so that I can keep my promise to my grandma, I want you to know that Jesus loves you and that he provided a way for you to have your sins forgiven and to live eternally with him. And we break it down in four words here. Sorry, thank you, please. We need to be sorry for the things that we've done wrong, the things where we've fallen short in our life. We've all sinned. We've already discussed that. We've already admitted it. But we have to recognize that. We recognize that we've fallen short. We recognize we're not perfect. So we're sorry about that. Thank you. Recognize that Jesus Christ came to make a way for us to get out of our past, out of our sin, and to live a new life. And so we say, thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for coming as a baby, dying as a man, being resurrected so that you could defeat death. And then thirdly, we say, please come to my life and make me new. I can't live this life myself. This new life I want, this new life you offered me, the room you've given me, I don't know how to live it out without your help. So give me your Holy Spirit to live out this new life. Sorry, thank you, please. If you've never said that before, you've never recognized that, we want today to be that day where you say yes to Jesus. Sorry, thank you, please. Stand with me. Let's sing. And if you'd like prayer this morning, come forward.